Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, and welcome to episode 142 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. We're here today with Craig Rice, Montgomery County Council member representing District 2, former president of the council, former delegate of District 15. Craig is also the chair of the Education Committee, a lifelong resident of Montgomery County, and a former financial services professional representing Puerto Rico. Craig, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Awesome. The first question I'd like to pose to you is, what are you currently doing or what have you ever done to advance the public interest and why?
You know, the whole reason why I decided to run for office and leave my private sector, whether it was working for Marriott or working for the government of Puerto Rico, all surrounded making sure that people had access to be able to lift themselves up. And being the son of a teacher, I always felt that was through education.
Right.
And why education was so important. And so for me, it's always been crusading for education, making sure that everyone has an equal opportunity to high quality education that gives them the ability to go on in their lives, whether it's following a career pathway or if it's going on to college and then going into a career pathway. I really feel as though in government, that's one of the most important things that we can do.
Can you give us some examples, the listeners and I, of what you've done as a delegate and then as a council member to advance public education for Montgomery County public school students?
Sure. Well, I think that each and every year we have a budget, and that budget obviously is one of the most important functions that affects not only MCPS, Montgomery County Public Schools, but all of our schools throughout the state. But when it comes to policies that are there to protect our students, to make sure that they can focus on learning, you know, one of the first bills that I introduced dealt with bullying in our schools. Maryland did not have a policy surrounding bullying. And so what we did is we mandated a statewide policy in 2008 when I was there that actually became a model policy for the nation in terms of how we would address this. It's especially important nowadays as we're seeing more and more of folks, whether it's harassment and intimidation on a racial basis, as well as ethnicity and religion, all the things that are the cornerstone of some of the arguments that we're seeing in our communities now.
What can the state actually do to address bullying? Often seems many listeners may think, well, sure, bullying is terrible. Isn't that like for parents or teachers to take care of? What did the legislation actually state?
Well, it actually stated that there are severe repercussions, not only at the school level, but we also have criminal repercussions that are associated with this as well that a lot of people aren't aware of. It's actually illegal in the state of Maryland to harass, bully, or intimidate someone on any of our social media sites. On Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all the things that our young people are using now, it's actually illegal to do that. And you can get prosecuted up to a fine of $500. A lot of people don't know that and understand. And we're trying to encourage more people to be aware of these kinds of things.
So I'd like to present a somewhat hyperbolized analogy relevant to what we just spoke about. So the death penalty in Maryland was abolished in the state legislature a few years ago. Obviously, one of the reasons is because it's fallible, but another thing is it wasn't actually serving as a deterrent. If someone was going to commit a homicide, the fact that there'd be some kind of harsher repercussion wasn't going to deter them.
Sure.
Back on to bullying. If there's a $500 fine or a threat of spending jail time and a 12-year-old is bullying someone else, I wonder, since we didn't believe that a criminal penalty would be a deterrent for a harsh crime, I wonder, is a criminal penalty a deterrent for a lesser crime like bullying?
Well, I think it might be. And I think the reason why is because we actually assign it to the parents. No parent wants to have to, because their child is doing something wrong, end up paying $500 out of their pocket. Mm-hmm. It actually does make a difference. And I think that, you know, not a lot of people have a lot of money. And so from that perspective, you know, we leave it up to the judge, of course, based on, you know, where parents are in their standings. But the key is that we have to make sure that folks are following up, filling out the bullying forms, reporting the harassment and intimidation, reporting these kinds of things, because kids should be able to go to school to learn. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have to be worried about whether or not somebody is trying to impact their ability to learn within our school walls. These should really be safe spaces for our kids. And that's the ultimate goal of all of this.
Have you seen a reduction in the amount, in the incidence of bullying?
Some of it happened as soon as we released the initial model policy. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, over the years, people have kind of forgotten that mm-hmm. it exists. And so I think it's important for us. You know, a recent report just came out from Muslim students that were analyzed and questioned about their feelings about the kind of school climate mm-hmm. and whether or not they felt bullied or harassed or safe. And a lot of folks said no. That they didn't feel that way. And so we decided to reach out to our Muslim community foundation mm-hmm. and make sure that we do an education campaign to re-educate our parents that there are policies and procedures that are out there. Oftentimes, to your point, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The things are already there. We mm-hmm. just have to remind people that they're there and that there are protections in place.
So that was a piece of legislation that you introduced as a delegate right. in the Maryland General Assembly.
Right.
But of course, you've been a council member for some time, mm-hmm. and for a long time it's been a priority to advocate for education.
Right.
So can you speak for a moment about what you've been able to do as a council member to advance public education? I mean, you have a $2.2 billion budget for Montgomery County Public Schools that you appropriate to the Board of Education. Can you speak for a moment about how you're advancing education in Montgomery County?
You know, one of the proudest things that I've seen that we've accomplished, and it's been a true partnership between Montgomery County Council, between Montgomery County Public Schools and Montgomery College, mm-hmm. Is our ACES program. And that really helps a lot of our children that aren't up to snuff in terms of meeting the requirements of a lot of our institutions of higher education. And we're working with them, with specialized coaches, to get them back and engaged in school, to love learning again, mm-hmm. to then go to school, to give them scholarships to go to school at Montgomery College and attain. And this program has continued to grow, and we've continued to grow the funding. As a matter of fact, with this most recent budget that's going to be this year, and now mm-hmm. our school system budget is $2.5 billion, so it continues to grow.
Right.
The great thing about it is that we continue to expand ACES because the need is still there.
Is that an acronym, ACES?
Yeah, it's Achieving Collegiate Educational Success, and it really is something that it is really boiled down in that we want all of our children, like I said before, to be able to succeed and shouldn't let any barriers get in the way. Understanding that some people will have tough times and bumps in roads, and oftentimes these students are students who are working as well as going to school, and so it really makes a tremendous difference in their lives. And I've heard from students who've talked about how it's made a difference and really kept them on the pathway to collegiate success.
So one of the reasons why a former superintendent was asked to leave is one of the main issues facing any political candidate running for office in Montgomery County is the achievement gap mm-hmm. pertaining to socioeconomic disparities, racial and ethnic disparities. And this achievement gap is a priority for many different politicians, many families, many constituents. Montgomery County, formerly a predominantly white bedroom community for D.C. commuters,
right.
has become a 1 million person population that is now majority minority.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak for a moment about the achievement gap and what exactly you've done or hope to do mm-hmm. to try to make sure that MCPS is a place where all children can succeed?
Well, it's very well stated that you say, because that's the ultimate belief, is that every child does need to be able to succeed. And look, we've invested when it comes to focusing on attaining reading levels at third grade, and that's been a focus. So we have a reading program that's specifically designed at a lot of our schools to where we're seeing underperformance, mm-hmm. and have invested in specialized teachers to deal with that. In fact, it's in this year's budget, it was taken out by the superintendent and put back in by the Board of Education. It's something that we and along with parents and administrators and teachers have all said needs to continue because it does have a direct effect on the achievement gap.
English as a second language you're talking?
No, I'm just talking about just straight reading. So I'm talking about just reading attainment. And so even at third grade, we mm-hmm. can start to see where a lot of kids aren't performing. But the reality, Jordan, is that it happens earlier. We need to have universal pre-K. The county has invested for a very long time in Head Start and mm-hmm. half-day pre-K programs for some of our most neediest families. Mm-hmm. The reality is that that need has grown exponentially. And the reality is that we need all of our children, all pre-K yeah. in Montgomery County and throughout the state, quite frankly.
So in 2014... then Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown ran for governor of the state of Maryland. One of his primary platforms was universal pre-kindergarten education.
That's right.
Of course, he lost that election. This is not a priority of the Republican administration in Maryland. How is it that you can get, how would you envision getting universal pre-K to Montgomery County? How would you pay for it, especially in light of the recent 8% property tax hike mm-hmm. that passed through the council?
Well, I think it's got to be a priority for us. Look, we pay for things in the long run because we haven't made upfront investment. I think that if we make the upfront investment, and the reality is for us to start small in terms of converting our existing pre-K from half day to full day mm-hmm. And expand to a couple other schools would cost roughly about $17 to $20 million. We can do that within the context of a $5 billion budget if that is something that we decide is a priority. I am pushing, and some of my other council members are also of the ilk that we need to do this. We need to start moving forward, but we also need to make sure that the state is ponying up. I serve on the current commission. I was fortunate enough to be represented by the Maryland Association of Counties mm-hmm. to go and serve on the current commission, which is a new commission formed to look at education funding in the state of Maryland. Mm-hmm. One of the priority things that we're looking at is the New York State model, which they allowed for universal pre-K for all of their students. And we're hoping to do some kind of recommendation similar to that when we present our recommendations to the General Assembly in December.
So it would be a combination of getting increased state funds, but and asking them to make sacrifices in the state budget. And then also there would be cuts to current programmatic funding in Montgomery County.
And I don't know if necessarily it's cuts, it's redirecting mm-hmm. Some of our funds, understanding where we need to focus our efforts. Mm-hmm. And so that really is what needs to. But I can tell you right now, we certainly understand and are very sensitive also to the appetite of our constituents when it comes to increased taxes. Mm-hmm. And so you don't hear a lot of people talking about that anymore. We really need to tighten our belt and make sure that we're doing what we can with what we have and prioritizing what we feel we need to move forward with.
So, Craig, as we approach the end of this podcast, I'd like to ask you a final question, which is I'd like to ask you to speak to your constituents. Suppose you're about to go tonight to speak to a variety of constituents on a particular issue, but imagine you're going out there and the topic is why you've found a calling in public service. Why has it been important? As you said, you've had other career paths and you've ended up serving in the state legislature and the county council. Why has it been important for you to serve? And then what do you hope at the end of your career to have accomplished through your service? What is your legacy to public service and how do you hope that that can inspire future generations to follow in your path?
You know, that's a terrific question. I mean, this basically boils down to leaving the world better than when you came in mm-hmm. And being able to touch a number of lives and make sure that some of the blessings that were happened to be bestowed upon you are things that are not always bestowed upon others, mm-hmm. But you can fight to make sure that those kinds of things happen. You know, I was blessed to have a mother who was a teacher and a dad who served in the Marine Corps, who taught me discipline and taught me about making sure that I strived every moment to achieve everything that I could. Mm-hmm. Understanding not every family is structured that way. There are plenty of parents who go and work three jobs and never have an opportunity to interact with their children as they'd like to. Those are the things and those are the families that we need to think about. And every single day that I walk into my office, that's first and foremost for me, to make sure that those people who don't have the advantages that many of us have in this county mm-hmm. can still live out the Montgomery County dream. To be successful, to be able to attain whatever it is that they see as the level of success that's right for them. And I think that at the end of the day, if we can do that for a number of people more than we have before, we've certainly made accomplishments and strides in making our community a better place to live.
That has been Craig Rice, Montgomery County Council member representing District 2, former president of the council, former delegate representing District 15 in Montgomery County, Maryland, chair of the Education Committee, lifelong resident in Montgomery County, who speaks about recognizing privilege and accepting responsibility for leaving the world a better place than he found it. He speaks about his impact on the world being justified if only he can make a difference in another person's life. It's understanding that, yes, you try to have an impact across society, but the justification for those efforts is if you're able to help one more person actualize their potential in a way they otherwise might not have been, often not because of any malice, but because of institutional structural obstacles, that it would be your job through legislation and through advocacy and through casework to solve and make their lives better. So for Craig, solving a life of public service is worthwhile just to make that difference in one person's life.
That's absolutely right.
Craig, I'd like to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Jordan. It was really great. And I look forward to hopefully getting a chance to talk to you again.
So this has been episode 142 of Public Interest Podcast with your host, Jordan Cooper, where we interview politicians, activists, advocates, and others who seek to improve the state of the world. Remember to subscribe at publicinterestpodcast.com. Listen on iTunes, your podcast app, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Blueberry, Player FM, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And should you wish to leave a message for Craig, you can call 240-630-0380. And that voicemail will be emailed to him. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.